Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. Your sports bros are here. I am Isaac.
Sada.
They call me Isaac. And that's Big Sook.
Right here.
Look at him. They call him Big Sook. And then we also have Schultze in today for Buckley, who is out golfing.
Wearing a headband, as always.
Damn right.
I kind of feel that the headband has become a staple of the Jordan Schultz.
By the way, it's not just a headband.
Mariner headband.
It's a Mariners headband.
Yeah. He's gone full Bryce Harper. With Mariners warm-up. Schultze could take batting practice right now.
Nobody's more fired up for what the Mariners are doing than that man right over there.
I was actually very luckily able to score tickets to Game 1 of the ALDS next Saturday. And how lucky is it that it's also an Oregon bye? So I don't have to work. It's like the stars aligned.
That's great.
It's so exciting.
And he got him for face value. And by the way, the little birdie told me that should the Mariners make the World Series, Schultze may be going to the World Series.
Tasty, brother. Tasty.
Thanks, man. Yeah, my dad, huge blessing. He's like, you know what, son? If they get there, we're going. I'm going to take care of it. So, love you, Dad. Thank you. And I'm just, oh, my God. I'm praying that they do it.
The last Mariner playoff game that I attended was a 0-0 18-inning affair. Let me tell you, that was something.
That might kill Schultze.
Yeah.
An 18-inning, 0-0 game. Schultze might have a heart attack in the stands.
I'd be intrigued by what... After that death march of a baseball game, I didn't care, win or lose. I just needed the game to be over. And I secretly think everyone was, because the Mariners lost that game. And as everyone shuffled outside, I don't think anyone was really upset that they lost. I think we were just relieved that the game was over.
I think everybody just wanted a shower at that point.
So the idea, because they cut off beer like in the seventh inning, so no one's eating, no one's drinking. Mm. I was like, can we turn stuff back on? Like that might be the worst sporting experience that I've ever been to in my entire life.
Well, some kid somewhere is thinking that was his best.
I don't think
her best.
No, that was not anyone's best.
They might have loved it. I don't
know. Win or lose, it didn't matter if you were an Astro or a Mariner fan. Everyone lost that night. Everybody. We were all. It answered the question: is there such thing as too much free baseball? Yes, and it's 18 innings of scoreless play.
Tonight in the club, we have the GQ 125 rules for the modern gentleman.
Nice.
I take all my cues from GQ.
Some of them are pretty good.
Sometimes, like, you see the GQ stuff and it's so ridiculous. Other times you're like, oh, that's really cool. And then you look at the price tag and you're like, no, it's not.
So we'll get to that 6-7. A lot going on today. You know, we have the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
Before we get into all the college football action this weekend, I wanted to play something for you. So the U.S. did not play well today.
No.
As a matter of fact, our two best players, Scott Scheffler and Bryce DeChambeau, combined went 0-4.
It's not great. It's not great, Bob.
So Europe is leading 5.5-2.5 after day one. A lot of ball left, though.
We'd like to point out, they did say that the 3-1 start, teams that have gone up 3-1 in the morning matches, I believe are 8-1 in the last 9 times that's happened. And they damn near went 3-1 again in the afternoon, but they halved the last match.
I'll tell you what, U.S., you know, don't count them out yet, but That Europe team is really nasty.
It's not looking great.
Anyway, there was a cool moment right out of the gate. So they put Bryson DeChambeau out there first with Justin Thomas. And one of the reasons they did that is they wanted the first tee shot when the crowd's at a fever pitch.
Yeah.
They wanted DeChambeau to try to drive the green.
Yeah.
And he damn near did, and it brought the house down. And they birdied, and they went one up, and it looked like it was like, and that was the highlight of the day.
It's like in the Super Bowl when the Bears returned the kick, and then after that, you're like,
here's what it sounded like.
Oh, he's nailed it. That is perfect.
320 carries, no problem for Bryson. Look at that. Wow. That's how you get the crowd going.
That is unbelievable. That just showed you that the tone for foursomes, that is an incredible shot. Got to give him that credit.
Here's the birdie. This is Thomas Chip.
Overzipped it. Overzipped it.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, I think that was a bit of a miss hit there, guys.
Yeah.
Here's Bryson's putt for birdie.
So
it was pretty good.
And that's what they wanted. Absolutely a dream start for Bryson DeChambeau.
And then a nightmare finish.
Finished 0-4.
Yes.
Or 0-2, sorry.
The other one, too, that I love about the Ryder Cup, and we were watching in here, because I was watching some in the morning, and then I only saw the very end of the afternoon matches. And Sam Burns had a putt to win it, and Rory had a putt to win it. And I love the fact that it's not silent when they're putting. Like, the crowd, there was noise. I'm not going to say that they were booing or that it was, like, over the top. But I love that there's buzz and there's energy. It's one of my biggest gripes is that I don't know why golf and tennis have to pretend to be silent. It's not silent at the Ryder Cup, and it adds something. It's my favorite golf tournament to watch.
A couple of other things we've got going on. Scoot Henderson is out 1 to 2 months, ripped up his hammy.
Yeah, they're saying that they didn't say strained. They said torn. And obviously the strain is a small tear, so I didn't actually see if they said grade 1, 2, 3. They just said torn hamstring from what I remember seeing. But the fact that they're basically saying reevaluation in a month or two, this ain't good. One, I think it's kind of a prove-it year for Scoot. I think it's kind of do or die for him at this point, especially with Dame coming back and you got Drew Holiday and with the future of him. And hamstrings are one of those things, especially torn hamstrings that can keep you out 2 months. That's a thing that can linger. Sometimes hamstrings turn into a chronic thing that you can battle for a year. So that is, in a big year for Scoot, by far the biggest of his NBA career. That is not the way you want to start this. 26 days, by the way, away from the Blazers tipping off.
Wake me up in March.
Christmas, maybe?
April.
Yeah, they won't be in it then either.
No, not Christmas. March.
Well, then
and maybe April.
Okay.
With the NBA. Root Sports has shut down. I don't know if you saw this. But needed to mention this before we get back into college football. Root Sports is out. Mariners are off Root Sports. They're going to be going to MLB. MLB will take over their broadcast for next year. So you don't have to search for Root anymore. They're laying off their employees and shutting down.
So we'll see where. I mean, eventually they're going to land somewhere. I mean, the Mariners will.
This is a thing. MLB has taken over several teams' broadcasts, including the Padres.
Yeah.
So,
well,
maybe they won't.
Didn't the Astros have this for a while, too? A lot of these regional networks, was it Bally Sports, I think it was?
Oh, yeah. That was a problem.
You know, that
Diamondbacks.
That were going down. And I would assume that the Mariners land. I mean.
No, so the whole idea now is that Major League Baseball, I'll try to do this quickly, to get rid of blackouts, essentially, wants to try to handle all the broadcast distribution themselves. And similar to like what the Padres did when they went to MLB distribution, they offered like a $20 monthly package. Yeah. And remember, everybody was pissed at, I think it was Xfinity, that when Root got put up into that next tier for sports stuff, it added $20 to their Xfinity bill. Yeah. Now, going forward, you're going to be able to, separate from anything else that you pay for, don't want to pay for, pay $20 a month to watch the Mariners. I think it's fabulous.
That'll be for next year, and then something along those lines, and then we'll see what happens. I don't know. It depends on like what the demand is, because like the Dodgers have obviously the Mariners aren't the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have a huge regional TV network deal. I'd be interested to see what especially coming off a hot year, I'd be interested to see where this lands eventually for the Mariners.
Okay, Virginia. Upset alert.
I know, right? 14-0.
Upset alert. Well, it's 14-7 now.
Oh, they score?
Virginia is leading number 8 Florida State tonight. 14-7. It's early. Second quarter.
Yeah.
And then you have TCU Arizona State playing tonight. And you also have Oregon State hosting Houston at 7:30.
By the way, I'm interested. Have you seen some of the photos coming out of Arizona State? The weather looks nightmarish.
Like what?
It just dark, rainy. So it looks pretty
Arizona?
Mad. Yeah, I know.
What?
It looks, and so the idea of thunderstorms, you know, we've had a lot of games delay. Just keep an eye on that.
Okay.
I keep, I follow some Sun Devil people on Twitter, and some of the photos coming out of that stadium, it looks pretty nasty out there. And I do think for Trent Bray, I think this is a must-win game. I don't think he gets fired necessarily like tomorrow, but if you want to have any sort of backbone here this year and start turning this thing around, it starts by beating Houston. And you're in the stretch now where there's not a single team left on your schedule that physically should overwhelm you. And we got to start seeing some better play. We got to start seeing some operational, situational functionality. We got to start seeing some continuity. This is just, to me, this, we're now in do or die time. I think there's like four teams in all of college football that haven't won a game, and you're one of them. It's, and you're at home. It's Friday night. Hopefully the fans show up. I understand if you don't, but this is a kind of a last stand here for me and Trent Bray.
By the way, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the weekend in college football outside of Oregon and Penn State. And then we'll have Joe Harrington on at 5:30 and we'll get into Oregon and Penn State.
It's a great slate this
Great slate.
Yeah.
But I did want to point out that your boy Skroat for the Mets.
Yeah.
No hitter.
The Skroter. Now, why did you have to bring that up in the fourth inning?
No reason.
Just thank you. I appreciate
it. Just want to point out, I mean, I was making fun of him. I'm like, who's this Sproat guy or Skroat, whatever his name is?
Sproat. Brandon
and,
Sproat.
He's shutting the Marlins down. Well,
thank
dude.
You for bringing that up now. If something bad
nine
happens,
up, I'm, nine down, bro.
I shall be blaming you.
All right. We'll get to college football. Man, is Alabama, is Kalen DeBoer back? What are you laughing?
Kalen DeBoer. That's a whole thing.
I think they win at Georgia.
It's possible.
You know what, Jason? It is possible.
I don't have a lot of faith, but
we'll get into all of it next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Joey Harrington coming up next.
You dingleberry. You bring up the fact that Sproat, the Scroter, has a no-hitter, and the next batter, the next inning, breaks it up.
Yeah, sorry about that. That was not my intent.
No. But then you got
I just wanted to give him some love.
But then the Mets got a double play, and you got to see the Toads, Mr. Toad's wild ride that is anytime Pete Alonso has to throw a baseball. You got to see that firsthand.
Well, as a Royals fan,
yeah,
nobody appreciates Pete Alonso's inability to throw better than me.
Dude, anytime.
You remember that?
Yes.
Oh, do you want to describe that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Anytime.
World Series, you know?
Yeah. Is that the World Series where we had a lead in every game and then
lost him?
Lost? Yeah, remember that? Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
That's that one.
Anytime he has to throw a baseball, there is a lump in, and I love Pete Alonso, love him. Anytime he has to throw a baseball, it is like he's never done it before. It's like a deer walking for the very first time. It's fascinating how that man can't throw a baseball. It's like watching 50 Cent throw out a first pitch.
All right, let's go through some of these games here. We've got the nooner is USC Illinois.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this because USC looks good. They have one of the best offenses in the country. They've played nobody.
They might have the best offense.
Yeah, depending on whether yards or points, they in some metrics, they
I mean,
have,
if you had to say right now who has the best offense in the country, who do you think it is? USC's is up there, man.
USC's
Indiana?
Indiana's is really... You know what else is really good is Washington's.
Washington?
Washington. You know, Washington has not punted since the second quarter of their first game. They've scored on, it's like 24, 25 straight possessions. They're going to score against Ohio State. I don't know if they can stop anybody.
How tough is it on Illinois that they have to play Indiana and USC back-to-back?
And this is my thing with USC. And I know Illinois is down some players. They're a little beat up. But Illinois is not a bad football team. But we also know what a good offense just did to them. And I get you're at home now versus we're on the road. But we've seen what Indiana did to him. And I'm not saying that USC has to lay, you know, 60 on him and embarrass him. But I've seen what a good offense will can put Illinois in a blender. So I do expect USC to go out and look good. If USC wants to, quote, be back, this is a game that you don't just win, but you win handily. And the next, like, 4 weeks are a battle of USC versus, like, we think we're good, but we're not really. They have Illinois, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Nebraska. None of those are bad teams, but none of them are really good teams. So USC is going to get tested here. And if you think you're back and you're a playoff team, these are all games with that offense you should be able to put up a lot of points and win. So I am my eyes will be very much watching the big nooner here.
My eyes are very important.
Me and Henry Winkler will be watching this game in town.
Top six offenses, according to points per game, USC 1, Indiana 2, Florida State 3,
yeah.
Washington 4,
yeah.
Vanderbilt 5, Oregon 6.
Yes.
We also have Georgia and Alabama 11-12. Tell me that game's not going over the total. What a game. Georgia hosting Alabama, 3-point point spread. Georgia favored at home. I think Alabama's the better team, but what do I know? They own Kirby Smart. They've won 8 of 9 in the series. Should be a great one. That one's on opposite of Oregon Penn State at 4:30.
Remember last year was Ryan Williams' coming out party at when they played Georgia. And that was when Alabama got off to the big lead and then like, oh, Nelly, here comes Georgia. And they ended up holding on to that.
There's something about Georgia that's kind of off. And it's not off as in they're bad. It's just off as in they're not
what they
quite
were.
As dominant as they used to be.
No.
And so you got to give Kirby Smart a lot of credit. But I don't know. Alabama ran into a buzzsaw. Florida State's good.
Yeah.
And now they're an underdog in this game. It's kind of weird to me.
I am very intrigued by this because I was disgusted at Alabama's effort against Florida State. It in no way did that look like a team that is loaded with NFL talent. And Jam Griffin should be back for them running the ball, which is good for Alabama. That's an NFL guy. And Ty Simpson has looked good the last 2 weeks. I mean, they bludgeoned Wisconsin. But, you know, Wisconsin may be on the verge of getting people fired. That thing is a mess there. So yeah, this is intriguing because I was an Alabama believer coming into the year. I thought Alabama was a playoff team. I thought Alabama could be a legitimate national title team. And I wanted to believe in Kalen DeBoer. And then you absolutely came out and S'd the bed. So
yeah, but just because you like, see, I feel like that's a lesson right there. It's like, just because a team S's the bed in a game.
Yeah.
Should not change your opinion of them in one fell swoop. I mean, Alabama has recovered.
Yeah.
They look really good, and they're winning this game away from everyone forgetting about the Florida State game. Remember, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, we shouldn't jump off our preseason opinions if you have a strong one just because of one loss. I mean, Florida State looks good.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a good game.
I want to, again, this goes back to Georgia has been tested a little bit and passed it against Tennessee. That Tennessee game was nuts. When's the last time you saw Georgia, though, play a game into the 40s? I mean, that was another one where, much like last year, and I think this is maybe where you're seeing, like, what you're saying, it doesn't look like your granddad's Georgia. Dude, Georgia was getting blitzed against Tennessee, and then they came back and made it a game. But it doesn't this
you,
defense
you can throw on them.
This defense is not the Dan Lanning,
right,
crippling Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith. This is not that group.
No, you can throw on them, and that's why I think Simpson, is that his name, the Alabama quarterback?
Yeah, Ty Simpson.
He's going to have a big game.
Yeah,
so that is going to be fun. I think you can get a lot of points, yeah, but who knows? What else was I going to tell you? Bloop,
bloop, bloop, bloop. I don't know.
I had another nuggy on that game. Now I can't remember it. Damn it. Ohio State, Washington, up in Seattle, 12:30 CBS.
I can't wait. This is just, it's not getting talked about because even on the West Coast, it's going to get overshadowed, obviously, because we got Oregon via Penn State and Washington isn't ranked yet. But I'm telling you, if you haven't seen Washington play, now the defense, the defense, it leaves some meat on the bone. And the other one too is Takario Davis, who's their best defensive player. He was a guy that came over from Arizona a year after, you know, Jed Fish got there. He's an NFL corner and he's a big physical NFL corner. I don't know if he's going to play. And if he does, he's not going to be 100%. You need an NFL corner when you're playing Jeremiah Smith. So if he can't go, that's another damning blow to the defense. But it is a big physical secondary. I'm not certain about their front seven. I'm not certain about their ability to stop the run. So I don't think that they are going to be able to beat Ohio State. But they're going to give Ohio State a run for their money. I'm telling you, the O-line, which was dreadful last year, is really good. You look at some of the PFF grades. This O-line is one of the most improved in the country, and their top, their big three, right? When you look at Damon Williams, Jonah Coleman, and Denzel Boston, it's better than Oregon's big three. I'm not saying that Washington's offense is better than Oregon's, but their big three is better, and Damon Williams is fun to watch. And I'm not certain that Ohio State's defense is as great as it's been in years past. I know they were good against Texas, but all of a sudden Texas's offense doesn't look very good. I think this is going to be a closer game and that Washington is going to put up points, but I just don't have any faith in their defense to stop Ohio State.
Top five scoring defenses. You want that?
Yeah. What do we got?
Scoring defenses, because we did offenses. Top five scoring defenses. Number one, Penn State.
Yeah.
5.5 points per game they're allowing.
They have played Nevada, Florida International, and who's the other one they played?
Villanova.
So, yeah.
Texas number two. Oregon number three.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
And BYU tied for fourth.
Yeah. BYU's got a good defense.
So you got
this year.
Ohio State's defense against Washington's offense.
I'm excited. I'm pretty stoked about this. And just if you haven't, I know it down here, oh, I hate Washington. Just, I'm telling you, watch. That is a really, really fun offense. And Jonah Coleman is one of the three best backs in the country. You got the Hardy kid at Missouri who looks like an absolute beast. The King at Michigan and Jonah Coleman are the three best backs in the country.
Dave Bartu always claims that this is the week you get more upsets than any other week. Well, I don't know why that is, but that's what he says. The plus money is the way to go this weekend.
Why is it this weekend?
I don't
know. Just this
particular,
really?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. But you've got Iowa hosting Indiana. You've got Iowa State hosting Arizona. Arizona's kind of interesting with Fafita. Is that right? Fafita?
Yeah. Noah Fafita.
Good player.
Yeah.
Watched him a little bit at Kansas State. I was impressed. LSU is at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
LSU is an underdog, I think, in that. Or maybe it's Ole Miss. I don't know. No, it's, LSU's the underdog.
Really?
Yeah,
they're giving LSU,
by a point and a half.
Interesting.
And then Notre Dame is at Arkansas, only favored by 3.5. Arkansas just lost last week to Memphis.
Yeah.
And then you have another interesting one, BYU on the road at Colorado, a rematch of that mighty bowl game.
The Alamo Bowl, I believe, where we took Colorado behind the woodshed.
Really good matchups.
And I said Justice Haynes is the Michigan running back.
Also, Auburn at Texas A&M. Good game.
Yeah, even though Auburn.
Also, Mississippi State hosting Tennessee. Mississippi State's 4-0 and beat Arizona State.
Can I ask why Auburn can't find a quarterback after Cam Newton? Jackson Arnold is terrible.
Yeah, he was bad at Oklahoma, too.
Yeah, he's just bad. By the way, he's in that same class we were like
five-star kid.
All those five-star kids, and none of them have done jack. And maybe more now at Oregon, we'll kind of have the resurrection here. But, man, just be careful of high school hype. He was supposed to be the next great Oklahoma quarterback. Dude, that guy is terrible. And I watched him play against Oklahoma. Dude, he just stands back there and holds on to the ball. Now, granted, they didn't protect him, but even Bo Nix wasn't good at Auburn. Then he came to Oregon and was great.
All right, good little weekend. Good little weekend. Let's get back to Oregon Penn State. Joey Harrington joins us for his weekly hit next, but here's Schulze with SportsCenter first.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Football Fridays with Joey Harrington. Would it behoove us to not talk football and talk golf the whole time? What do you think? How do you think that would go over with the public, Joey?
I don't think there's much of a game this weekend.
Yeah, who are they even playing?
Yeah, it's somebody. I don't know.
State never wins games like this. They won't win. Am I right?
I'm not a big Drew Aller fan, to be honest. I think he could be, you know, we're looking at the reincarnation of Josh Allen, who is a very average college quarterback and then has a stellar professional career. But, yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about.
Well, there is. And let me, okay.
Okay, you, maybe.
You brought up Drew Aller, so I'm just going to, we'll start there. I do want to tease something, though, that Joey was a captain for the U.S. Ryder Cup team.
Winning captain, losing captain.
At least he says. So we will get to that. But, yeah, the Drew Aller thing is interesting. What, we were talking about this earlier, but quarterbacks who look like first-round picks but don't play like it, what are we to do with these types of guys?
Okay, so here's the thing that's throwing me off, is I can make a case for Josh Allen at Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have the talent around you. You're throwing heaters that your wide receivers can't catch. You know, your completion percentage. I mean, dude was – and if I remember correctly, this is where that magical thing called the computer comes in while I'm talking. Someone could look up Josh Allen's college completion percentage. Hmm. And I'm going to say it's not much higher than like 54%.
Well, I remember watching – Josh Allen hearing the hype, and I watched him play two full games. I think one was against Iowa, and the other one was Oregon, if I'm not mistaken. And he looked very, because it was like that. Oh yeah, Josh Allen, the pro, and he looked terrible.
56.2%.
I think he only threw for like 127 against Oregon.
Yeah,
like
it wasn't good.
Did you catch that?
56.2%.
There we go. He was this freak athlete who had the physical gifts that made NFL scouts drool, mm-hmm. which is what Drew Aller is to me right now. Like, I've watched him, and now granted, I haven't watched him play 20 games. I've watched him play a couple. Mm-hmm. One of them being the Big Ten championship game last year. And hey, credit the guy for staying with it and digging him out. But he, let's be honest, he almost gave that game away before it even hit halftime.
Yeah,
like there's just something that doesn't quite click yet, which is why I'm not sold on him. Right? If he was. I don't even, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like the production has not met the hype. I think that's the best way to put it for me. Is he's this guy that's been, we've heard of for the last 3 years, Drew Aller. What do we have to show for it? Not a whole lot. And so, I don't know. Last year, I would have rather had Dylan Gabriel. The year before, I would have rather had Bo Nix. You know, guys who don't have the physical stature, but have the it factor. And maybe that's what it is he has yet to develop that it factor.
Yeah, he says he's pressing, or overthinking, I think is the term that he used. And we talked about this earlier in the week, but Matt Flynn is the only quarterback in the last 20 years to stay at a school for four or more years and win a title in his senior year. Now, you had a monster senior year. So going back to your senior year, is because Aller in the article that we were talking about is insinuating that once you get to be a senior, it's just more pressure and he's pressing because time is running out. But a lot of us view it the other way. You're a guy who had an amazing senior year. Did you feel more pressure, or how did you get over the hump in your last year, whereas Drew Aller is not? At least
I don't think
yet.
That's an apple. I understand what you're asking, but I don't think it's an apples to apples comparison, right? Drew Aller was he a five star guy coming out?
He was a big deal when he got on campus as a freshman. They said that he will be the future
he's
of that
next
program.
Coming.
Yes,
exactly.
He's been billed that since day one.
I threw six touchdowns in the playoffs in high school. And talked to Washington State the next day, and they said, "Yeah, I don't think you're quite good enough for an official visit."
Ooh.
Right? That's the difference. Is if we had stars back then, I probably would have been a two star. Drew Aller has had that label, has had that pressure from the beginning. Yeah. So it's not quite an apples. You know, I remember sitting in Mel Kiper's radio studio in between my It was when we were doing the tour for the billboard. We were doing the media tour, and we went over to Mel Kiper, and you know, someone asked, "Hey, if Joey came out of the draft right now, you know, what would?" And he had me as like a fifth or sixth round pick. So there's a difference between, you know, I was still trying to prove something. And I can also understand the pressure that this guy has been under since the day he arrived. And maybe it's similar to Josh Allen, where, you know, you're just such a physical specimen that you're just waiting to get out of college and into the NFL with guys who are as talented as you are. And I don't know. But whatever it is, I can't put my finger on it. Yes. Let's just leave it like that. And if I was to choose a quarterback to lead my team to a championship, if I had to win a championship or they were going to throw me off of the top of the Hawthorne Bridge and into the Willamette River, and I had one quarterback to choose, I wouldn't choose Drew Aller.
Yeah. So I looked it up.
I might choose Dante Moore.
Yeah.
The way he's playing right now, let's be honest, I might choose Dante.
Well, and Moore had that too. I mean, we've talked about Moore's, you know, class. And granted, now he's come around, but, you know, he was a bust at UCLA and had to transfer down. That class, you know, Arch Manning, you know, it has not been great. Drew Aller, by the way, five-star quarterback and was either the second to the fourth best quarterback coming out of that class, depending on what ranking. So yeah, he was one of those guys. But I talk about this all the time in college football. It kind of drives me crazy. And I'll use Arch Manning or Drew Aller is one of these. We get told a narrative that this guy is great. And I think the media, the announcers do it. And like, I really like Joel Klatt. I think Joel Klatt's really good at what he does, but he's terrible at this. Like, you'll be watching Iowa State play and Rocco Becht will throw for 130 yards and one touchdown, and we act like it's the second coming. We love narratives, and there just isn't a lot of really good college quarterback play. So I just think we artificially, for whatever reason, we artificially prop up high school to college kids, and then once you're in a major program, we do that at an alarming level. And in the NFL, it's the exact opposite. In the NFL, we tear down Bo Nix, we tear down Geno, we tear down Sam Darnold, we tear down quarterbacks, Dak Prescott. We tear down good quarterbacks. And in college, I think we lift up bad to average quarterbacks to, quote, elite status.
Do you think that has to do with the age of these quarterbacks, right? By the time they get to the NFL, they're adults.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think anybody, and you know, this is a topic for another day, but I don't know the one who's tearing down a 17-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I think like, there's
at that point there's still a potential.
I'll push back though. First off, everyone now is making money, and so I'm with you. Yeah. Over the 20 years we've been hesitant to call out bad college players. I don't like doing it, but They're now making money, and I think there's a difference between trashing a kid and saying this isn't very good, or dude, this is a work in progress, as opposed to having to listen to an announcer be like, his courage, his intangibles are off the charts. Meanwhile, we all can watch it and we look down and dude, you're 11 of 24 for a $112, and we're like, exactly where you want to be in this game with this guy at the helm. You're like, man. Like, you're trying to create a narrative, and I don't think you need to trash a kid to point out that this hasn't been very good. So I think there's a middle ground there, and I don't think many of the media members, and I don't think many of the guys calling the games really toe that line. I think we tend to go full Gus Johnson, and everything we're seeing is the greatest thing because the narrative is that Drew Aller is a great quarterback. And I have watched all three games that Penn State has played this year, and their passing game is anything but great.
Maybe Dante's a good example of just that, where he is a five-star guy. He's the, you know, the second coming.
Yep.
And let's be honest, he chooses to go to UCLA because they paid him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He was an Oregon guy. And then for whatever, you know, I don't know the details, but then he, you know, un-Oregons and, you know, lands it in Westwood and struggles. And I want to say this, like, good on him for coming to Oregon and sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many five-star guys
and knew he was gonna
would
sit.
Transfer somebody or would transfer somewhere and say, I'm gonna go somewhere else and I'm gonna sit and wait.
Yep.
Right? I think that was the best thing that could have happened to him for the longevity of his career.
Yes.
Right? He could have gone somewhere else. He could have gone to Oregon and said, no, I'm gonna, you know, if you won't bring me in, I'm gonna play or I'm gonna transfer out.
Yep.
Right? But instead he sat behind Dylan and waited.
Yeah.
And watched and learned. And I'll be the first to say, like, it's not quite an apples to apples, but my NFL career would have been different had I had the opportunity to sit and watch and to learn. Like, I remember getting the call, from Marty Mornhinweg. I was watching Jeopardy, and they're like, and he said, hey, you're playing. I was like, well, I'm not ready, but here we go. Like, I would love to be able to have that opportunity to learn and to take a step back and then to grow because of it in the way that Dante has. And so, hey, good on him for doing that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think there was a, cause you're right. Like you transfer to Oregon and you don't play. A lot of those guys put it in the wind. Like the next year, I'm trying to think of the USC kid who was a five-star kid, didn't win the job at USC, transferred to Boise State, didn't win the job. Transfer. I think he's now like on his third or fourth school, and he keeps, he can't win the job anywhere. And it's like, there is an element of that with a lot of these five-star kids. If the ones that do end up succeeding, it's often not at the place where they first go. And right. that we talk about NFL quarterback development and how tricky it is. Dude, I think it's just as tricky in college.
Oh, it is now.
Yeah.
It absolutely is now because you cannot rely with players getting paid and the ability to transfer every single year. You have no idea who is going to be on your roster the next year. Therefore, you cannot plan for how to develop somebody over 2 to 3 years. It is, what are you going to do now, and how can I win with what I have on the shelf at this moment?
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will find out where is the patented Joey Harrington worry meter for the game in Happy Valley. That's next with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX on 105.1 The Fan.
Waking up on Monday, and the coffee just can't quite wash away last night's six-pack of hams. But Tuesday brings the promise of making things all right, but you still drive to work in your family's minivan. The doctor calls on Wednesday, right before your flight, to talk about your colorectal exam. You're back to work on Thursday and your boss is all uptight, cause you didn't push your best-selling brand. But now it's the Friday drive and it's story time. Yes, it's story time. The one time a week when you can truly plan to kick back and listen to story time. Yes, it's story time. Pushing it out on every airwave we can. We're on both 105.1 and 1080 The Fan. Part of The Fan's Global Sports Radio Network.
All right, back with Joey Harrington. Let's get right to it. The patented Joey Harrington worry meter for the game we have all been waiting for.
Five.
Ooh.
Pretty confident.
That's not too bad.
I'm right in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I feel really, are there things that will tip things in the favor of Penn State? You know, whiteout, on the road. This place is going to be crazy, for sure. But I think Oregon's the better team right now. I don't know. Like, I've been so impressed with the way, and we talked about this, I was curious to see how Dante started the season. Pretty dang good. Pretty dang good. And that's not to say that he can't, if he goes out and doesn't play well in his first major road game, that all of a sudden, all bets are off and the guy sucks. Like, no. Like, the way he has played to start this season gives me confidence that he can play well in a big game environment on the road. And if the chips do fall the other way, you know, for a whole host of reasons, that would be very legitimate. I would still have faith in him if this came back around, you know, whether it's, you know, a Big Ten championship game or a playoff game. Like, I would still feel good about it, and maybe even better because he's got one under his belt. So, no, I'm right in the middle. Is it going to be a tough game? Hell yeah, it is. But I wouldn't feel bad putting money on the Duckies this weekend.
Well, too. I mean, we saw this last year with Ohio State, Penn State, right? Or excuse me, Ohio State, Oregon. Very close game. Oregon nicks him at home, and you had to see him again, and it was, you know, it was a different outcome. Because I fully expect both of these teams more than likely to end up in the playoffs. So this could have seeding implications, Big Ten title implications. But, you know, however this goes, there's a good chance that both of these schools will get an opportunity to see each other again, or at least, you know, get that far.
Yeah, these teams will be in the mix at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that's in this new environment, in this new world of college football, that's all you can hope for, right? We're no longer in the world where you have to win every single week or you're dead.
Yeah.
You can lose a game or two and still find yourself in the playoff at the end of the season.
Saban had a great one. I think he was on with McAfee today. And McAfee, I think it was AJ Hawk, asked him about the whiteout conditions and how tough the environment. And Saban goes, yeah, we played in a whiteout, didn't help him very much. And just kind of smiled. Everyone was like, I think it was like 31 to like 11 or something. But just Saban just kind of smiled and like, the whiteout didn't help him. And I know it's a tough environment, but yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes the road and the whiteout, as if Penn State's a hard place to play no matter what. The fact it's at night and everyone wears white, that stuff I think gets overblown. And you know, and I, you know, we asked Dan Lanning about it. You know he's going to lean into it just like he did at Wisconsin. Like, no one's going to walk into this game and be intimidated.
No, I think if anything, you know, playing in front of, what is it, 106,000 now? Yeah. I mean, that's loud. It's going to be more than they've seen. And that is real, right? But whether or not the Penn State fans are, you know, wearing white or navy blue or, you know, fluorescent pink, it doesn't matter.
106 in change.
Yeah, I don't know about the whiteout thing, the color, whatever. It's always a tough place to play. Yeah. Is it important to have played in environments like this, though, before in order to better handle it, or is that overblown?
I was talking to someone about that. I don't know. I really don't know because...
Where was your first, like...
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah, where was the big one for you? Because my first game that I ever...
Camp Randall. Yeah, that was the first... It was the first game of my... Or second game of my junior year. And, you know, we played in the Sun Bowl. We played, I played the last six games my sophomore year. And, you know, we really didn't have any major... you know, road games, but Camp Randall was different. And here's the thing. It's not if you can communicate, you can communicate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you have your hand signals down, you have your hand signals. Like that's what it is trying to manage and people in Suk, you know, this, there is no way to replicate the adrenaline that absolutely floods your body.
Yep.
Once kickoff, like at that kick.
And then the crash.
Oh my God. Like to be like, there is literally nothing in day to day life that can replicate the amount of adrenaline that just hits you when there's 75,000 people, when there's 106,000 people screaming at you. Like it's just this. It's this otherworldly, out-of-body experience. So you ask the question, like, does doing it, like, do you need to have the experience with it before? I don't know that even having experience with it helps you manage. Like, you either got it or you don't. Like, for me, like, I don't know. There's this weird... Either you understand how to regulate your body or you don't,
yeah.
Right? And I don't know. It's going to hit those guys. It's going to, they're going to get absolutely smacked with this rush of adrenaline at kickoff. And that first drive is going to tell you, like Bilotti always used to say, like first drive of the game, I either knew Joey was going to throw it through the guy's face mask or he was going to throw it into the second row of the stands. Like there was, there's something that just happens to you. And I don't know, maybe I'm talking myself into saying that you, it's helpful to understand it, but it's different. Yeah. Like it really is.
Fighters talk about this, that like if you go in the first round or two and those are the easy ones, but when the adrenaline dumps, like you I thought it was a really good thing where you said you have to regulate your body, because that adrenaline dump is real. And then all of a sudden you'll hear people say, I feel like I'm sluggish. And you have to be able to overcome that and get back to an even state. Otherwise, that adrenaline dump, I mean, it, when you felt it, it's a scary thing. And I was going to say, my first game, and I wasn't a junior, I was a freshman, and I was the backup at three positions, and we were at Alabama. And I will tell you, it affected me. I was not prepared. As a freshman that had never played in a game before, I was not prepared to go into the game in the second quarter against Alabama. And I think it would have been better had I been a sophomore or a junior. So I do think that I do think that some of the youth, you know, for Oregon and freshmen, I wonder, at least for a moment, if there won't be some of that. Because then as I got older and I played in more hostile environments, and you know, it wasn't as much. But being a freshman, yeah, that was it was a lot for me. I will definitely say that it affected my play.
Fair.
Should we talk about a real big sporting event happening this
Speak
weekend?
Speak of adrenaline dumps.
Yeah, really.
What's that?
Well, the Ryder Cup. So I'm assuming that the Detroit Ryder Cup, where the U.S. got smoked, you were a part of that?
I was a captain on that team. I was an honorary captain for the 2004 Ryder Cup team.
And now we know what happened.
Yeah, they got smoked, yep, right?
I'm the reason that that we lost. Yeah.
Wasn't that the one where
Robert Porsche and I were, Hal Sutton was the captain,
yeah,
and Hal Sutton made Robert Porsche and I honorary captains. And after that moment, I never spoke to Hal Sutton again. And interestingly enough, not that he would want the, you know, the advice of Robert and I, but I ended up spending more time with the European team because I walked the ropes with Padraig's wife, Caroline. Yeah. So we were, Padraig's match finished up on like 16. He closed down his match and we were all sitting there and I'm walking inside the ropes and, you know, we're in Detroit. And so everything is, Joey, USA. He was like, yeah, USA. As I'm walking around with the European team, and it's like, I'm sitting on the edge of the green as the matches end and kind of congregate. And I continue to get surrounded by the European, you know, family and the, you know, it's Sergio and Luke Donald. And everybody comes and sits over. And I look at Caroline. And I was like, I'm getting really uncomfortable here, and I think I may have to, you know, I have to move. And she kind of laughs and says, slide on over that way, and you know, we'll meet up with you later. But yeah, it was a bit of a, I would say I was torn. As a captain for the U.S. team, I was actually spending more time with the Europeans.
Wasn't the one where they tried to put Tiger and Phil together?
I was on the tee box when that happened.
Ooh. How awkward is that?
We're going to need some... Yeah, we're going to need your thoughts.
I will say that I've never felt an icier, colder glare
God.
Than when Tiger was like, he was boring a hole through the back of Phil's skull. It was like, there were, like I said, we, you know, the match kind of ended on 16 and we all started following the groups in and, you know, big group around the tee box. And obviously Tiger has an aura about him, but his eyeballs changed the emotions of 100 people standing within a 20-foot radius. Like that was like everybody just like, boom, oh my God. you felt it. You absolutely felt it.
What were the expectations? You say you never talked to Hal Sutton again. What is a honorary captain supposed to do?
accept an autographed flag and then move the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
Then you had Porsche just beat up someone. Dude, yeah. That dude was terrifying. Just sick him on the Europeans.
Put Porsche on the Europeans?
Yeah, just have him go kick some ass. Dude, that dude was terrifying.
Yeah. You know, that probably wouldn't have gone real well. You know, that's called assault, brother. But, you know, that's...
This is why you should have realized what was going down and made some sacrifices. You should have convinced Robert, hey, man, we need you. Need you to go break an arm.
We should have done that. You're right. And I can say also out of the other side of my mouth, I went and celebrated with the European team at the Irish bar down the street. And that was a fun evening.
You're turncoat.
We kind had of about, a commie.
Yeah.
Hey, easy now. Easy now. If the European Ryder Cup team called you and said, hey, we're three blocks away at the Irish pub down the street from your house. Yeah, come have a pint with us.
Yeah. Good point.
You know, I'm not going to say no, right? If a family member calls and said, I need you to celebrate with me. Like, it's not, I am in need of your support right now because we are stuck on the top of a bar and the establishment is so full with people that we can't actually get down off of the bar. We need your help. You go to that family member.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just what happens.
You put it that way.
It's true.
Now, do you think that, is there a chance Hal picked you because knowing that you had a family member on the European team? Was that some gamesmanship?
Well, if it was, it didn't work. Cause I think they got doubled up and lost like 18-9 or something.
Yeah, they did.
Like
they got smoked.
Like it wasn't even close.
But I blame the Tiger Phil relationship for that, not you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But you're right. Like, if my man Ludwig calls me up and my Swedish brother and he wants me to go drinking, I'm drinking.
Yeah, I'm putting on the turncoat. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, and I'm putting on my Swedish soccer jersey and we're hoisting some frothy pints. That's what's happening.
I could have sworn I told you this, but standing. There are like 300 people. You know.
Yeah, you should tell it again, and then we'll end on that because it's a great story. Yeah. But yeah, because not a lot of people get to be in that environment.
Oh, it was so. I sent Padraig a text app because we had actually won the game. I think we played Houston that year, that day, and we were like 3-1 for the first time in 50 years. And so I'm on cloud nine, and hey, you know. We won a game. You won the Ryder Cup. Where are you? And he said, we're at this Irish pub down the street. I was like, you're three blocks away. Come on down. And I walk in and I see the capacity sign on the, you know, how they have on the outside of the bar. And it says like 276. They were like 5.25 in there. And it was shoulder to shoulder. And you couldn't get up to the pub or bar counter. And all of the team was standing on top of the bar counter, and they pulled me up on top, and they were passing $5 bills all the way through the crowd, and we would lean over and pick up the fives and hand it back to the bartenders who just had the taps all open and were just sliding pints underneath. They'd pass them to us, and we'd pass them back. And it was a couple hours of singing Irish jigs and so cool. Celebrating everybody who came over the pond. So, and I'd be lying if we didn't end the night walking the streets of Birmingham, Detroit with a Sergio Garcia who was a little bit sideways. So
that's so cool.
That is fun.
It was a memorable evening.
That's an all timer, is what that is. That's when you die. And your brain dumps all the endorphins and the memories. That will be one that'll be on the reel.
All right, sir.
I'll still blame Hal Sutton for not bringing me into the fold. So
have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
I will. Good night. Bye.
That's Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PX. The future of building is here. He joins us every Friday here on the Fan at 5:30. The club is next on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.